Welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I am so excited because I have one of my most favorite people as a guest today. And I have known this lady for, gosh, I'm going to have to ask her how long we've known each other because it's been a minute or two or five or maybe 10. The fabulous Deborah Coford. So welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome to the podcast. And I'm so excited to have you on. And there's so many things I wanted to talk about. Number one, I'm going to ask you, how long? I know we've been working together for a long time in real estate, but how? When did we? I can't remember.
I think I came over to your company 2012.
Okay,
maybe. So it's and then like I joined the team years? In 2017.
Okay,
I believe.
Yeah. Okay. That I figured you were better about dates.
I
than
had to
I
think
am.
About it today because I had a feeling we'd discuss it, and I went, "Oh, let's see."
When was that? Yeah, I knew it had been a long time though, and so. I know that you had already, like you said, you had already been working in real estate when you came over.
Yeah.
And then how long had you been in real estate or how long have you been in real estate total? Because I know it's a long time.
Since 2006.
Okay.
So almost 20.
Almost 20 years. That's great. That's fantastic. So I'm so curious because I know a little bit about the story, but I'd love to hear it again. How did you end up in San Antonio? And then how did you end up in San Antonio real estate?
Okay. Well, initially my family moved here when I was in college and I fought it. I wasn't going to come. And then I finally thought, why not? I'm single. I might as well come out there. So I came out here and was here for probably 6-7 years.
Okay.
And then.
And where had you moved from?
Utah.
Utah. Okay. Very good.
From Utah. And then I had decided, well, I'm getting older. I'm just going to try something else. And so I went back home and I met my husband within a month. And then we stayed there for about 4 or 5 years until our daughter was born.
Okay.
And then because she was born with a disability, we decided would better let me quit work so that I could stay and try to figure out what her disability was.
Sure.
Because I was using so much of my leave.
Yeah.
And figured he could make more here as a school teacher.
Sure.
So my family was here. We just moved out here.
Okay.
And I just stayed with her trying to get all that done until she started school. So at 3 and a half, she started school. And that's when I met Brenda Brock.
Yeah.
Who
that's
kept
right.
telling me, you need to go into real estate. You need to go into real estate.
Yeah.
It'd be, you know, it works with your schedule.
Sure.
So I thought, why not? I grew up in the industry. My family all did custom homes.
Yeah.
And so went and started taking the classes and got my license and
yeah, no, we've talked about this before. We actually have very similar backgrounds because my dad was a home builder.
Yeah.
I know you've got home building in your background in your family, you know, for many years, maybe even generations, right?
My father. So I grew up in it. Yeah, my dad had his own company.
That's what I thought. And then one of your other brothers too, right?
I've got two brothers that build.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking.
And they're both here in San Antonio.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, so you kind of grew up in the industry a little bit. And so it made sense to make that transition.
Oh, yeah. And I love the construction process. I love looking at floor plans. I love walking through, you know, framed houses.
Yeah.
So it was just a natural progression. And it just seemed. And I started selling their homes too, helping them when they were building.
Me too. Exactly. Yeah. I used to sit on site. And so that was basically, you know, how I grew up is learning how to sell homes on an on-site or with a on-site situation.
Yeah.
So anyway, very interesting. And then I know you mentioned that you have a daughter that's disabled. And I know that we've talked about this. I have a son that's disabled. He was born with spina bifida. And tell me a little bit more about Abby, because I know that definitely that's something that you've been working with for many, many years now. How old is Abby?
She's 24.
Okay.
And she, when she was born, we weren't sure. It took until she was almost 4 before she was diagnosed.
That's what I thought. You had a long, it took a long time to get diagnosed.
It did, because it's such a random. It's her disability is Angelman syndrome.
Yeah.
And it's 1 in 20,000.
Yeah.
So it's randomly rare.
Yes.
But then you find that they kind of congregate in pockets.
Interesting.
So like I know several of the children here in San Antonio are adult children now that have the same disability.
Interesting.
So it's interesting, nonverbal, which makes life interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, what I was going to ask you, because I feel like it's really, in many ways, I think both of us have talked about this before, having a disabled child and having to learn how to manage all the different things and issues that arise, yeah. you know, with that. I feel like, how do you feel like that has helped you in real estate? Because I feel like you really do learn that because there are plenty of families out there that have, you know, children yeah. with disabilities, or maybe they have a parent that has a disability or whatever it happens to be. But I feel like when it comes to real estate, that's something that you really do have to dig into. It's not just as simple as you can just, if somebody's in a wheelchair, you're not going to put them in a two-story where all the bedrooms are up and you've got to go up a flight of stairs of 20 stairs to get to the house in the first place. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
definitely makes a difference.
Yeah. So do you feel like that has enabled you to kind of better understand navigating that? Definitely.
In fact, I just had a client that kind of the same issue. She was worried about having a two-story with her daughter. And
sure.
we discussed, well, if that's the case, if the bedrooms end up, you know, upstairs, you can always put gates. Or, you know, if there's a bedroom downstairs, do you want to share that bedroom? Or watching to see if there's going to be a problem with wheelchair access.
Sure.
Because you've dealt with that.
Sure.
And I did until Abby was, she didn't walk till she was six.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware that they can only go up a slight little curb or a slight
yeah.
step
yeah.
without having problems. So
yeah.
is there a ramp? Is it a level driveway? Is it a level walkway into the house?
Right.
Carpet
right.
versus wood or yes. tile.
Yes.
All of those play a factor.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, and again, in today's world, all the different new designs and whatnot, sometimes they look really cool, but they're not necessarily accessible.
Correct. Like, you know, a lot of the really cool homes from the 70s have the sunken family rooms, or they have a step up here and a step up there. They look really cool.
Right.
But someone who either can't see well or is in a wheelchair
right.
is not going to be able to navigate that and could actually hurt themselves.
Right.
So as cool as I think those houses are, they would not work for my situation.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I love that. And so I know kind of getting back to your family, I know that you have grown your family through adoption.
Yes.
And you have what I would call a full house, you know?
Slightly. Yeah, slightly.
I mean, more than a full house.
Well, we've adopted three.
Yeah. So you and Chris have four children, and three are adopted. So tell me a little bit about that, because I think a lot of people out there, adoption is something that a lot of people don't know anything about.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Well, to start off too, I was adopted as an infant.
Okay.
And I have a brother that was adopted. So, and we also did some foster care growing up. So for us, you know, it's somewhat normal. For me, it's not a big deal.
Right.
Well, when we had Abby and realized her disability and that the mother's the carrier, and then my body also didn't want to work anyway. It took forever to get pregnant with her. We decided that adoption would be the next step. And it kind of fell into our lap for our oldest. So Abby was three when we adopted our first child, who was nine.
Okay. Oh,
so
okay.
She was 6 years older.
Gotcha.
So we
gotcha.
Really confuse everything.
Yeah.
So we adopted an older child.
Okay.
She was from Russia.
Okay.
And there was her. And then now, after Abby's 24, so it's been 7 years now, we decided to adopt again.
Okay.
Which was another surprise. Did not expect to start over.
You always hear about those whoops babies. And then now we're hearing about the whoops adoption.
Yeah, the whoops adoptions. Yeah. So we, at 51, yeah. I ended up with a newborn, a 6 month
yeah,
old.
Yeah, but you're 51 going on like 19. I swear. It's like every time I see you, you're aging in reverse. I mean, you know.
Well, that's the goal, I guess, because, you know, they're either going to kill us early or we're going to have to try to stay young forever.
They're going to keep you. They're keeping you guys young.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
And that's what we're striving for.
Yeah. So. No, definitely.
The goal is to be around for a very long
adoption
time.
Adoption agrees with you. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we're done. You know, after the last two little boys, we're good because they're 7 and 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, people keep saying, oh, your grandchild's really cute. And I'm like, that's my son.
So. Oh, I can't imagine they're saying grand.
They do. Yeah.
Really?
It's interesting.
Oh, my gosh. That kind of surprises me. I wouldn't have thought that they would think that.
And then to make matters more interesting, they're biracial. And my husband and I are very white.
Yes.
And
yes.
So they tend to not figure it out.
Got it. So people get a little confused.
Yeah. And yeah. we just have to say, no, we fostered them and adopted them and they're ours.
I love it. So I love it.
It's been interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I know that being that you're, and again, I will tell you because I've known you so long and worked with you in real estate. I mean, you are a top producer, multi-million dollar producer every year. And literally, if I did not know all the things about your background and your family, I would just think that you were single and you were just making it happen. You work all the time. I mean,
don't tell Chris. You
think no, exactly.
I think
no,
I'm single.
Absolutely. But obviously, it actually brings me to my next thing that I was going to talk about, which is Chris, because there's no way you do as much real estate as you do without the support of a tribe.
Yes.
Most specifically, a tribe of one, which is Chris. And so tell me a little bit about what does Chris do? Because I absolutely know you're kind of the, which we'll get into in a little bit. You're kind of the queen of, we were talking about this the other day, you're queen of the satellite cities of San Antonio. Like if a listing comes in or, you know, if there's a listing opportunity or a client that needs help, whether it be Jordanton, whether it be Pleasanton, whether it be Floresville, whether it be
Three Rivers.
Exactly. No, I'm just like, obviously Deborah's working with them because she, you know, like I said, you are just the queen of that. So to manage that, I mean, I just know at the volume that you're doing and you do it at such a high level and so well, you know, what does that support system look like? And like I said, what does Chris do in all of this?
Well, it helps that he's a school teacher and that he's no longer coaching because he did that for 20 years, which made it a big balance.
Yeah.
But he's now where he's just teaching. And so it's easier for him to be home, especially in the evening. And so a lot of my work does happen in the evening.
I hear you, for sure.
But during the day, the kids are in school and Abby's in a day program. So my days are easy for me as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I also have family here. We've had caregivers that have taken care of Abby.
Yeah.
So there's been it's a village. It truly is because we've got friends and family that just step in when they're needed.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Because like I said, just judging from how much I know you work all the time, like I said, I can't imagine doing that when you still have you've had three kids still at home and, you've got, the one daughter that's disabled living at home with you and then the two little ones. Yeah. And so do the two little ones think, cause I know Chris was a coach and he was a football coach, wasn't he?
Basketball.
Oh, basketball. Okay.
Well, and he did tennis and golf and all that, but primarily.
Okay. I don't know why I was thinking football. So maybe that was Brenda Brock's husband.
Brock's done a lot of different.
Right. I was thinking he maybe coached football. But anyway, are the boys kind of leaning toward going into sports or can you tell?
We're already there.
Oh, you're already there. Okay.
Soccer mom, football mom.
Okay.
Next, we're trying, who knows, it could be baseball.
So you're fitting sports. In all the games. So between you and Chris.
Trying.
Trust me, I understand. We had this conversation the other day that I look back because, of course, all my kids are grown now. But I do look back and I realize I missed a lot of games. I just did. I missed a lot of different events and things and stuff like that. And so I think as you get older, it's like, and you look back, you're like, oh man, you know,
I
shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah.
You know, so, I appreciate, like I said, raising and bringing these two boys up, and taking care of Abby as well as a full-time, you know, job. So now, I think that you were telling me that Abby was going to the camp that was recently impacted by the floods that happened in
Kerrville.
Kerrville.
Yeah, in Comfort.
It was a camp camp?
Camp camp. Yeah. She goes to camp camp. Every year she does the annual ones, and then they have respite weekends, which actually she'll be going to one soon.
Oh, cool.
Which is just like a 24-hour day type thing.
Is it at the actual camp camp?
It's at the actual camp.
Okay.
And that's up in Comfort.
Okay.
And they were impacted, luckily not as bad as everyone else.
Yeah.
It was just their waterfront, which is down a ways from the camp. So none of the cabins were involved. Abby had actually been there at camp the week before the flooding all happened.
That's so crazy.
So, yeah, it was kind of nerve-wracking. And you start wondering, what if? You know,
oh,
what
no,
could have
should
what if she had been there? Would I have been able to get to her?
Yeah.
Because I do know that the only road that goes into camp was flooded.
Oh gosh, that's so crazy.
So we were fortunate, but luckily I believe there weren't any campers there. It was all staff and volunteers that were in training that week.
Yeah.
so it wasn't as stressful sure. as it could have been. But yeah, they were able to get the waterfront put back together in time for the next session.
Yeah.
And it just went right along. People were wonderful, stepped in and helped out.
Yeah. No. I just so happy that it turned out okay. And like I said, just unfortunately, tragically turned out for others. Yeah. But anyway, it's so great that there is a place like Camp Camp because, again, I feel like they do such amazing things and so many kids have benefited from that over the years.
They are fabulous. In fact, they do their best to accommodate whoever they can, whether it's a financial stepping stone to help out, you know, a sliding scale type thing. But just to have those kids, one, it just gives them some independence away from mom and dad.
Yeah.
It also gives the caregivers some respite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which can be greatly needed.
Absolutely.
You don't want to have burnout.
Yeah.
So even the 24-hour ones, you know, it's kind of interesting to not have her there for just 24 hours.
Then
you're picking her up again.
Yeah.
But the week-long summer camps, the week-long spring.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get multiple sessions if you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know,
and she
loves it. And I can't say enough about the volunteers.
That's amazing.
I mean, some of them are now lifelong friends.
Yeah.
We just love them.
I do feel like that. Same with Stephen. Over the years, we've had, you know, numerous people that were definitely helping and they became lifelong family friends because, again, you do grow so close and they are so helpful. And like I said, just God bless them because it definitely helps, you know, everybody else in the family that's involved in their care to have, again, a little bit of a break and to do whatever they need to do. Yeah. But knowing that half the time, I think my son was happier to see some of the caregivers than me.
There
it's
is
like,
that.
Oh, mom's here, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely I do feel like that they get very bonded to the caregivers as well.
Yeah, and the caregivers, the volunteers, they get it.
Yeah,
you know,
they
if they get
do.
Their hair pulled, they understand that it's not a mean thing. It's not an acting out.
It's different. There's a difference. And I feel like it's important for them to understand the difference because somebody else on the outside looking in that doesn't really understand what having a disability might mean in terms of behavioral stuff, they don't get it.
No.
But the caregivers, they really do get it. And to me, that makes such a difference because they understand handling it. It needs to be handled in a different way.
Correct.
Without just being like, this kid's out of control and, you know, needs to be, because it's happening for a different reason than maybe some other kids might be acting out purposefully to do that.
It's like at the grocery store with her. I mean, she's taller than me now. So we blame that.
And you're tall. You're like model tall, you know? I mean, we were just talking about that when you walked into the podcast. It's like, oh my gosh, you're like svelte and tall and, you know, just.
I wear heels a lot because my husband's.
Well, that's
6'10",
that's
and then
right.
Abby's taller than me. So in order to stay in control, I kind of need to have the heels on.
Yes. No, I get that. You're right. I forgot about how Chris is. In fact, my youngest son is 6'8". And I remember we were on that one trip.
Yeah.
We had Chris and Jackson go back to back. And it was so
there
funny.
There wasn't
because,
a whole lot of difference.
No. Well, Jackson's, I think, 6'8". You know, he always argues and says he thinks he's 6'7". But I'm like, I think you're kind of 6'8". And when he went back to back with Chris, I'm like, oh, there ain't a whole lot of difference between those two.
Yeah,
so definitely it's interesting when you have someone in your family that's that tall because, again, even – and I've helped a lot of other clients that are super tall. And so that's another thing with real estate that I find that it's interesting sometimes our own personal situations, how that can help us to better serve our clients because, again, when you have somebody that's really tall and you're showing them an older home – Let's say you're looking down in Alamo Heights.
Light switches are lower. Cabinets are lower.
Everything is. I mean, imagine my son just recently bought a condo over the summer. And when we were looking, again, he's 6'8". So when you're going through some older places, even getting through, you have to duck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on some of the doorways.
Well, they mostly do anyway. I mean, Chris and Jackson probably have to take it on the downswing
in order
to make not hit their head.
Exactly. And what I find though is older properties, although I love me some older properties because they have so much character,
they're
so cool and all that. But I mean, just realistically, if you have a client that is 6 foot something, some of those doorways are just because people, I think back in the day when homes were built, you know, 50, 60 years ago,
weren't as tall.
They weren't as tall. And so they didn't need the doorways to be taller. And so it's not always easy to retrofit and take those doorways up. Have you guys had to do that with any of your homes with Chris being so tall?
The only one that we really had a problem, well, there was two. Our first apartment was a basement apartment.
Okay.
And they had, it was kind of an afterthought apartment.
Okay.
So the heating and air conditioning ducts were lower. They were the ceiling to us. So for about 3 months, every night he got out of bed to go to the restroom, he would hit his head on this duct and he had like a permanent bruise. So that was kind of when we decided it was time to move.
And I'll have to tease Chris about the brain damage that probably occurred from those head
it was
traumas.
So bad. It was so bad.
And one of the joys of being a giant.
Right. It's all his fault.
Yeah.
So then the other house we had, when we bought our first home, it was a 1930s bungalow. And it had the archway over the bathtub.
Yes.
So
yes.
We had to remove that and raise the ceiling. There was no way he would have been able to shower. He would have had to kneel down.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But other than that, we have been fortunate that our homes haven't been too crazy.
Yeah.
But you do notice that, especially with taller people. You want them to have the 12-foot ceilings so that they don't feel like they're...
Exactly, especially where they live. Because it's one thing if they're going to visit somewhere where they have to be careful and duck. I mean, that's not that big of a deal. But to me, if that's your home, if that's where you're living,
can you
imagine on a... Yeah, you need to be able to walk into a room without having to just constantly duck. And I think I watch a lot of, like I said, a lot of the taller people that I've worked with, I watch them and it's become such a habit, I think, that they are so used to... like gauging and ducking.
Yeah.
I think it happens almost like without them even thinking about it because they've been having to do it for so
long. Like how often would you worry about a ceiling fan hitting you in the head?
Not.
Right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
But for them, I think they probably, and they probably have learned from experience.
Well,
and it's
there's
probably
that.
Just like, they've probably endured a few head wounds, you know? So I think that they probably have learned the hard way. And then it's just become like part of their DNA of what they do when they go places.
Oh, but definitely.
Like when Jackson and I were looking, one of the things I was watching, because he does duck just automatically, I was looking though to see, I want to make sure that he doesn't have, the condo that he bought, we checked the clearance. I made him stand in the doorways, you know, just to make sure that he wasn't going to be hitting it if he literally, you know, decided he wanted to have a cocktail one night and then just walk into the bathroom. He wasn't going to go have a head injury, you know? So definitely,
so
I feel
true.
Like that's something to pay attention to. And I think just because you grew up in a family of builders, what kind of homes did your dad and your brothers that build, what kind of properties do they build? What kind of homes?
Well, my dad has passed away, but he, for years, I think he had 50 years under his belt. He had 25 in Utah and then moved out here.
Okay. So he built in both Utah and San Antonio?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
So interesting.
He did. He had a great career and homes
did
there.
Did you guys move to San Antonio for him to start building here specifically?
He kind of. We're talking the late 80s when the industry struggled.
Okay.
And in Utah, it kind of just bottomed out for a while.
Yeah.
And he was offered a job here to actually work with Benito.
Okay.
Which was helping to redo the bases. The air bases, because we'd had tornadoes and everything had come through.
Okay.
So he was hired to do that. So he moved here, not really doing homes.
Got it.
But working
construction.
That way.
Still Correct. Working in construction, just a job opportunity for that.
Correct. And it was a debate between maybe Arizona or West Coast and coming here. And my parents kind of had to make that decision about where they were going to end up. But they don't like the cold anymore. So this was perfect for them. And then eventually he did get back into building homes, and it was more so when my brothers were a little older and they helped him start building again. And then they did the flips for a while too.
Okay. Oh, cool. And so they have a real varied background on the building side.
Yeah. Mostly custom homes. My one brother that's up in Bandera does custom homes.
Okay.
And then I've got a brother in Lacoste that has been building and now does a lot of remodeling or whatever's kind of needed.
I used to live in Lacoste.
There you go.
I used to live on Lower Lacoste Road.
Castroville,
and then it would turn. I think we were far enough down Lower Lacoste Road to be, I think, technically in Lacoste, even though you would drive through Castroville to get to it.
Right.
It's been a few minutes since I lived there, but Definitely, it was a quaint little town. So I had forgotten that your brothers lived that close, that they were in cities nearby. Yeah. And so do they both build in their respective cities where they live?
Yeah, and they help each other.
Okay, that's they so do. Cool.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what's going on.
Very cool. Yeah. Interesting. I'm so glad you told me that, because I had somebody that just reached out about that wanting to build. What price point do they work in?
Well, my brother Paul that's up in Bandera.
Okay.
Tends to do in the millions.
Okay.
But it varies. Okay. I mean, probably the lowest would be in the eights.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Sure. Understand.
And Jared, who's in La Coste, is definitely very.
Okay.
He's built several of his own homes.
Okay, cool. Good. Just good to know that there's an additional resource for those outlying areas. Well, no wonder if you've got brothers living in the satellite cities, it doesn't surprise me now that you're always, like I said, you're making the rounds all the time.
Well, and there's also the fact that it's going to take me a couple hours to drive there and there's no one else in the car for a while. So a little bit of respite.
You know what? I hadn't thought of it.
That's a little break.
Kind of genius. I mean, that is kind of genius that it's like a built-in kind of reset that you can have that time to just kind of like think your own thoughts and kind of just chill a little bit. And driving can be, I think, somewhat relaxing, depending on which, if you're going I-35, maybe not. But some of the other areas, I think it's kind of lovely to drive.
Nice. Probably not for my husband while I'm gone, but.
Well, that.
It does work well for me.
Exactly. But it turned out well. So that's awesome. I love that. So tell me, what is your favorite thing about real estate?
Oh, goodness. Probably the people.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I have met some of the most interesting and wonderful people.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of like with caregivers. A lot of them become just good friends.
I know. It's so crazy because, you know, my husband and I were laughing the other day. He said some of our closest friends we know through real estate. And it just morphed into, I met them and helped them with whatever their real estate needs were. And then we end up being really good friends. And then we like hang out and go to dinner and catch up and stay in touch and all that kind of stuff. And so it's really a fun way to meet people. And like I said, throughout the process, which sometimes can be turbulent, but it can also bond you, you know, because when you're in the trenches on a transaction, a lot of times I feel like, and we laugh about this, sometimes I'm sure you've had this happen as well, where we've just finished a transaction and it was really like, let's say it was really intense while we were going through it. And then when it's over and they close, it's kind of like we're like, oh, we're not used to not talking to each other every day.
I haven't talked to you in a week.
It's been a week. Oh my gosh. You know, is everything okay? Because for a while there, we were sometimes needing to talk several times a day because it was crisis mode. Something was happening and we had to figure it out. And it was like, oh my gosh, or it's 11 o'clock at night and we're trying to war game stuff, you know? And so you do go through a time period afterward where you're like, oh, I miss talking to that person every day, you know, because I got kind of used to it.
Plus, you find out a lot about them, especially as an agent. You want to know what their likes are, what their dislikes are, so that you're not showing them the wrong house.
Exactly.
And then the more you get into that, you're helping them find that comfort.
Yes.
And so it's a real bonding experience because you know all about them.
No, you're exactly right. Because again, I think especially working in residential real estate, I feel like you want them to be so happy in their home and obviously kind of check all the boxes or as many of the boxes as you possibly can for them. And so I think through that process, you really do get to know somebody and what they like and what they don't like. And then I think you just, again, through that process, you do end up, especially if there's a good fit there, if you know the personalities mesh and everything like that, definitely I feel like it can turn into a friendship. So
And the fact that you're out talking to adults does help instead of, you know, little kids and one that doesn't respond.
Yes.
So instead of talking to myself all day, I actually get to talk to people.
I love that. Exactly. Yeah. No. But I'm with you. I think that the people part of the business is absolutely my favorite part.
I love it. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that we get to see beautiful homes.
True.
But then I go home and want to change mine.
Yeah, exactly. So same. And I always want to move. I know. And so Dave's always like, we're not moving again, you know, because we've moved so many times.
You've definitely moved more than I have.
I know. And he was in the Army for 27 years. So he's like, I already moved so many times. I don't need to move again. So anyway, I digress. I just can hear him in my head now. He's like, we're not moving because we just moved to the house that we're in last year. So he's like, we're going to be here.
We're good.
We're going to be here for many years, right? I'm like, right, honey?
Sure.
Which sure. I do love the house. So I live in a McNair custom home. So,
oh, well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've kind
How
of hit
can you
the.
Not?
Exactly. So I feel like I found my place, you know, and I'm in my happy place. And anyway, so without a doubt, I think we're going to be here for a little bit. So
oh, good.
Now I'm going to get to the next part of the podcast, which is also my favorite part of the podcast, which is called Feral and Fabulous, or actually Feral or Fabulous.
Or Fabulous.
Either,
okay.
either way, because sometimes they can be both, or sometimes they can be either. Sometimes it's a combo. So if you want to grab your paddle, okay. and you'll see, yep, you've got Feral on one side, Fabulous on the other.
All right.
And I'm going to give you, and I honestly, sometimes some of the guests, I kind of think I know which way they may go on things. Mm-hmm. And with some of yours, I really am not sure. So
I'm a little nervous. So we'll just see what happens.
Great. You should be nervous. Be afraid. Be afraid. Very afraid. Don't go down in the basement. Don't go down in the basement. I'm scared. I'm terrified. Okay. Zip lining.
Oh, good heavens. Love it. Love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
I think we went, didn't we, when we all took a trip in Vegas?
We did.
We all went, the whole team went zip lining.
Yes.
And so I just couldn't remember talking to you afterwards. So mm-hmm. I didn't know if you, because some of the people on the
we're
team that
happy,
went,
yeah.
they were terrified.
Well, we did the Superman one too, we were laying down.
We did do the Superman, and I was actually terrified. So I was one of those people that was very traumatized by it, but I didn't remember. So you loved it.
Yeah, we loved it.
But
yeah.
you know, let's face it. I mean, you're adopting kids and yeah, I mean, whatever you,
but I do have
a fear of
heights.
It takes a lot to scare you.
I have a fear of heights.
Oh, you do?
Oh yeah. And I'm claustrophobic.
Well, we were way up above the street. I mean, that was,
I fake it for a while.
Okay. And then
but
it was okay.
Once it's that initial
I did not
stepping
know that.
Off that scares the living life out of me.
Okay.
But once I'm going, it's like, no
you
problem.
You were okay. It was
but
just
there,
that initial.
Remember, we're sitting down.
Oh, I
and
do
the
remember.
Bottom just kind of drops out.
Yeah.
So you're not stepping off. They're making you do it.
Yes.
Which kind of helps.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, no, I'm a chicken when it comes to some of that.
Oh, no, I was terrified the whole time. If you look at my face, I'm traumatized. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even, you know, they try and sell you the picture
uh-huh.
at the end
oh,
where
no. yeah.
The look on my face was sheer terror. I mean, I'm just like, no, I don't want to be reminded of that on a daily basis. I don't need a memento of that experience because I'm still traumatized by it.
Oh.
So anyway, you will not catch me on the next zip
line. Okay, well, I will be there.
But you
I
will.
Love
okay,
it.
Well, next time we go on a team trip.
Okay.
We'll
make sure there's a zip line for me.
We'll make sure there's a zip line for you because, and then we'll watch you. Gingerbread.
It's maybe a both.
Okay.
I do enjoy gingerbread.
Okay.
I enjoy doing the gingerbread houses to a point.
Okay.
I've gotten lazy though, where I don't use my mother's recipe.
Got it.
And I just buy the kits.
And those
not
are
as
not
good.
As good.
No,
okay.
Not
so
near as good.
That's where the feral kind of comes in a little bit. Not
yeah.
as good.
And
okay.
is it hard gingerbread or is it soft gingerbread?
You're right. You know what? That's a good point because I am a soft, like I love gingerbread. Absolutely. I like gingerbread cookies, but mm-hmm. I don't like them when they break your teeth.
Correct.
Like I'm not into cracking a tooth on a gingerbread cookie.
Right.
But if you have like a little, if the cookie has a little softness to it, or if it's like a gingerbread, I don't know if it's a loaf cake or what do you want to call it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? But I love the flavor of gingerbread. Like anything like
ginger
a coffee.
Snaps, I really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do mm-hmm. too. I do too. So I do like the ginger aspect of things,
right.
but I'm with you. If it's too crunchy or hard, I'm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. and as far as feral goes on that, my family has a tradition that you do the gingerbread house before Christmas.
Okay.
And then New Year's Day, you take a hammer and break it. Now talk about chipping a tooth. You don't want to eat it, but everyone tries.
Oh,
because it's rock hard by then.
Oh yeah, no, that's yeah, that's
so hammer.
That's aged for sure.
Hammer is
yes.
definitely the way to go.
Oh my gosh, I love that tradition though. That's kind of
fun
to make it and then tear it down.
Yeah,
you must be from a family of builders.
I know,
so.
You know, there's a bunch of us. We're
no,
good.
I love it. No, that's awesome. Okay, sewing.
Okay, so. I can sew a straight line, maybe.
Okay.
But I'm not
so
great
kind of
at it.
So kind of feral. Like you'll
yeah.
attempt it, but it's a feral thing.
My claim to fame is I've done a zipper in a denim skirt.
Okay.
And the people at the fabric store thought I was nuts.
Okay.
Because I'm not great.
Okay.
My mother-in-law's fantastic at it. My mother, you know, did our clothes growing up.
Yep.
No.
I took sewing lessons growing up. I mean, a lot of sewing lessons.
Really?
I was not a good student. And I realized I had a little bit of an anger problem during that phase of the classes, because I would get so angry because I would sew something together and then I would realize it was not right. Mm. And then take scissors and just cut it up because I was so mad. I would just rip it apart because I was like, ah. And then I'd have to start over again. I literally hate sewing. I absolutely hate sewing.
Yeah. I've got some drapes that I've just kind of left long because I'm just not in the mood to try to figure it out.
If the drapes are too long, the drapes are too long.
They're too long.
That's what's happening. I mean, if my dress is too long, I'm taking it to the tailor.
Now, I can sew a button and I can, you know, salvage some things.
Oh,
if I can sew
a button? I'm not going to. I can't. I have the skill set. I'm not doing it. Sorry. I'm taking it to, I have a fabulous tailor that I go
to on
Blanco next to Kennedy's little bar place over there. I think it's a Blanco and Huebner, I think it is.
Okay.
Or is it Huebner? Okay, cool. They're confirming
every
that.
Every once in a while that's needed, so that's good to know.
Yes, and they do an amazing job. In fact, they've done some amazing shirts for Morgan Wallen concerts, so they're kind of like my version of Etsy. So they're quite fabulous.
Love it.
But I'm not doing any sewing myself, so I understand the ferule on that. Turtles.
Not my favorite.
Okay.
I did have a big one growing up.
Okay.
That I recall, like it was a tortoise.
Yeah.
And I was little.
And you know, maybe that's what I, for some reason, how I came up with the turtle idea for you is because I think you must have talked about a turtle.
Maybe.
But I couldn't remember how you felt about it. You know what I mean? I just remember something. Yeah, I understand. I'm kind of the same.
Like they're okay. I don't want to hold one now.
No, me either. I don't want to touch a turtle.
Their necks are a little creepy.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I kind of like the idea of a sea turtle. Like I love art that has like a sea turtle on it. I love the coast. So I love sea turtles from that regard. But I don't really like, I wouldn't want to have a turtle as a pet.
Done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love their shells.
Especially
I think
the jumbo
beautiful.
One.
Yeah. No. But I recall it being very big. I don't think we had it for very long.
Okay.
But there's somewhere in my memory that says we did.
Yeah. No, I'm.
But
I
then
gotcha.
We had ducks and geese and.
Oh, wow. Oh, you had quite
pigeons.
You had like a zoo.
It varied. Yeah. My dad had wanted to be a big animal vet, actually.
Oh, okay.
And
so he had a real affinity for that.
He did. He grew up on a farm. Both my parents did. But they didn't want to be farmers.
Okay.
But we still had animals. You know, if a cat got its leg busted up, my dad would go and get the stuff and cast it.
Love it.
Oh, it was interesting.
Love it. Yeah. No, you had an interesting upbringing, for sure. For
definitely.
Sure. Taylor Swift.
Make it hard.
I know.
Okay.
I didn't want to make it easy.
Abby,
that's not the purpose
Abby's
of this.
Abby's a huge Swiftie.
Oh.
Like the music for her is everything.
I love that.
So for her, I have to say fabulous.
I love it.
As a person, she's okay.
Understand.
I'm not a huge, huge fan, but definitely the music has been
healing,
great.
It sounds like for Abby. Yeah,
yeah,
that's so cool.
I do like what she tries to do, and I definitely appreciate her as a performer.
Yes. Oh, same.
I mean, the stuff she puts together is phenomenal.
I totally agree with that. In fact, I really didn't know much about her. My granddaughters are kind of obsessed with Taylor Swift, and so thus they are now Kansas City Chiefs fans, you know,
right.
So we all know
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I understand because I'm a Packers fan. I
49er all the way.
No, I understand. You and I are battling it half of the season as well on the football field. But I do feel like I can appreciate once they kind of brought Taylor Swift to. I went to a Taylor Swift concert. She sang 44 songs, and so you got to give somebody that has the ability to and night after night. I've talked about this before. I really can appreciate somebody that has that wherewithal and that just fortitude of I'm going to make that happen and happen for a couple of years and multiple dates back to back and nights in a row. I just feel like psychologically, not just physically, but psychologically. That requires such an amount of strength and just, you know,
dedication.
Dedication.
Completely.
That's a great
Yeah.
Yeah. Description.
What I do love too is she's a performer. There's a difference between being a really good singer and just kind of singing the songs.
Yeah, because you were a dancer.
I was.
That's
for
right.
quite a while.
I that's right.
But the performance.
Yes.
The where she falls off the stage and goes underneath and you see her, you know,
so
traveling
the
under the stage
the
to get some
choreography, yeah. all that goes into the production of her, you know, if you want to call it a concert performance, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's special. And so from that standpoint, I feel like I'm a Swiftie now because of all that.
Right. I do appreciate how she does all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, your last one. Shopping.
Oh, well, hello.
Fabulous. I love it.
I love shopping. Know. I don't have a lot of time to do shopping.
Yeah, I would think not.
Like, I would love to do thrifting.
Yeah.
But for me, having to just go through the clothes is not time appropriate for me. It's just the consumption of how much time it takes.
Makes sense.
But I do enjoy it when I get a moment.
Yeah.
But if I have an idea of what I want to go get. Now, for my husband, it's not window shopping at all. It is, if he finds something on sale that fits him, he usually buys it.
Okay. That's kind of how Dave is. But Dave calls me the angry shopper. That is my nickname because I am just angry when I'm shopping. I do not like to shop. And, you know, so many of my friends are like, let's go shopping or let's go window shopping. I'm like, oh, my God, let's put a bullet to my head. I mean, I'm just like, please, I can think of so many things that I would rather do than shop. And my girlfriends are like, what is wrong with you? I'm missing the cartoon chip. I'm missing the shopping chip. I don't know. But I am just weird. I am a weirdo, you know.
But I love clothes. I love to find different clothes that others don't have.
You know what? And I do know that about you. You're very good at actually picking out clothes because I know one of the tops that you gave to me as a gift is one of my favorite tops. And that's I wear it all the time. I mean, literally wear it all the time. And it's been several years. I've been wearing it for several years and I absolutely love that. And so I feel like you're very good at shopping, not only for yourself, you're good at shopping for other people. So we're going to have some coffee and talk after this because I think I might have to hire you as my personal shopper.
Well,
because,
there we go. That's
because
another way
I
to
definitely,
make money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm excited about it. So, well, thank you so much for being here on the podcast. I knew you were going to be a fun guest and it turned out to be just as fun as I thought it was going to be.
Just as crazy.
Yeah, of course. It's always crazy when we get together. Yes. So thank you again. And thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Feral and Fabulous. Sorry about that. I just screwed up with the camera. So bye.